Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon, we are continuing in our study today, and this will bring to a conclusion our series in the month of January. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Carlos Alvarez with us, but we're going to finish our series that we have been doing on a grace-impacted spirit, taken from the last verse of this little letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to his friend Philemon. After his runaway slave, Onesimus, appeared in Rome, where Paul was, and there Paul had the opportunity of leading Onesimus to Christ. Amazing turn of events. And there, Paul desired to keep Onesimus with him. He was a helpful individual. But he said, you know what? We need to know the mind of Philemon first. You've got something that you need to go back and take care of. And I think that's important for us to grasp. Paul didn't pull the apostle thing and say, I'm keeping him here. He said, no, you ran away. You need to go make things right. I know Philemon, and he will handle this the way he ought to handle it. And so today we want to pick up, beginning at verse 16, and I want to read through the end of the letter. And today we're going to finish with three more thoughts related to a grace-impacted spirit. Beginning at verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a beloved brother, specially to me, but now much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. A little bit of humor there, as you can see. I think Paul probably was a little bit on the tight side. I don't know, maybe not. But he reminds him, said, you know, if he owes you anything, I will pay it. But just remember what you owe me and things of that nature. Verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my splachna in the Lord. That's in the Greek language. Splachna means the innermost parts of my being. It's called bowels here, but it means the innermost parts of my being. Refresh me in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Now notice what he says here about this action that Philemon would do would be obedience. So we're going to meditate a little bit on that today. I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say, but withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open your word to our hearts today. Lord, there's so many things for us to take to heart today as we consider what Paul was asking of Philemon and the important link to his response to this servant coming back home, that he was now a believer in Christ and things had changed, and that Philemon needed to change the way he dealt with Onesimus, because now not only was he a former slave, but now he's a brother in Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand the interaction and the teaching that's given here between Paul and Philemon through a letter. And I pray that you'd open our hearts to learn the lessons that we need to know today, for I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Very quickly, I want to walk you through where we've been thus far in this passage of Scripture. Number one, a grace-impacted spirit sees life-changing events in its rightful context. What did Paul call himself? I'm a prisoner, not of Rome, but of Jesus Christ. And we spent a lot of time dealing with that important understanding. He understood why he was there. It wasn't just that he'd been falsely accused of sedition, which was totally false, untrue. He saw himself as a prisoner of Christ and opened doors of opportunity for him going forward. Secondly, we saw that a grace-impacted spirit seeks the spiritual well-being of other believers. We see this throughout the letter, that Paul desired for Philemon and for Onesimus and all those that were there that were saluting, Lucas and Demas and all Aristarchus, those names that are listed there, they were with him at that time, and he desired for them that they would know the grace of God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So a grace-impacted spirit seeks the spiritual well-being of others. That attitude of, I hope something happens to them because of I don't like what they did to me and I hope something bad happens to them. Is that a grace-impacted spirit? No, not at all. God desires for His children to behave like Him. Did you hear that? God desires for His children to obey like Him, to follow Him. And so this is an important lesson. Number three, a grace-impacted spirit prays for the spiritual well-being of other believers. We noted this in verses 4 through 6 of Paul remembering them in prayer, praying for Philemon, praying for his household. He had a church that met in his house. He was praying for them. A grace-impacted spirit reaches out beyond the four walls of our house to others. Amen? I was speaking to someone yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, inward things. Most of the time we focus upon ourselves, and we think about all the things that we're suffering and all the things we're going through. And I was reading just this week about an individual that found that to be true in their lives, and so they stopped. And they said, Lord, I want you to help me. Anytime a thought comes up about myself, I want to think about somebody else. 3x5 cards in their pocket. And they had several prayer requests of people to remember. They had a missionary of the day. So every time he had a thought about his situation or her situation, he would pull that out and he would look at it. And he would stop and pray for that. And he said, you know what I've seen happen? I've said those impulses to just dwell on myself have slowly begun to ebb away. And I'm starting to not need my 3x5 cards because now I'm praying for them out of my own heart. That's a grace-impacted spirit. It's changed its function of just thinking about self all the time and turning outward to others. Do our missionaries need to be remembered in prayer? Belinda right now with her two friends are in Port Moresby. 60 hours of flight time to get there from Knoxville, Tennessee. They're not even there on the mission field yet. They still have to purchase all of their stuff and be able to fly into the bush area where they're located. And then they start there. Two of these ladies have never been there before. It's brand new stuff for them. And so she's going to be teaching and helping them how to live in the bush. All the scary things that happen, all right? Grace-impacted spirit. She was not bitter about 60 hours in flight. She said, you know, the Lord used that. We were able to talk on the flights and in the extra time, even though we were bone tired, I was able to help them out and told them we made our lists, shopping lists. She said, that was fun. Is it fun for women to do shopping lists? Yeah. It's even more fun when they're going and spending. That's even better, you know. So they're going to be shopping for the next few days. I appreciated Belinda's attitude as she wrote. She wasn't bitter. She wasn't angry. She's not young anymore. It's not easy. But she had a grace-impacted spirit in how she shared that. Seeking to pray for others. Communication of the faith becomes effective with the acknowledging that I need to be praying for others. Amen? I need to be praying for others. Let's get to this one today. I want to take you through these verses here. A grace-impacted spirit rejoices in the good work of a fellow saint. Do you spend time rejoicing about what others are doing? Or only dwelling upon, you know, the hurts? You know, I really struggle with feeling sorry for people that are always talking about, so-and-so hurt me. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're going to be disappointed by people. Are you not aware of that? Some people are in perpetual middle school. You know what I'm talking about? In middle school, I fell in love with a girl and she didn't love me back. And well, go home and write myself notes. I hate girls. I love so-and-so and she doesn't like me. And some people are in their 30s and 40s and 50s and they're the same way. Whining how they're treated. If you're a believer in Christ, you've been delivered from hell. Has that not impacted your thinking? You've been delivered by the one who loved you and gave himself for you in your sinful state. What is this? It's this self-centered mentality that only thinks about myself. And they're not thinking about, you know, another brother or sister that's just being a blessing. I'm gonna rejoice with them in that. I'm going to send them a note to thank them for what they're doing. Send them a note for praying for me. I'm going to let them know that I appreciate them. I want to rejoice in what they're doing. Did you catch that in verse 7? I have great joy and encouragement due to your love for the brothers. He uses that word splachna again, the bowels. The bowels of the believers have been refreshed by you, Philemon. Thank you. You know, when you start thanking others for what they're doing for Christ, you start rejoicing with them when good things happen in their family or good things happen in their lives and you rejoice with them rather than say, I wish that had happened to me. How come that never happens to me? Well, maybe it's because you're so bitter all the time. Maybe we need to stop and thank God for what He did. You got up this morning. I think most of you had breakfast this morning. Yeah. Do you have something to be thankful for? We're at church. We're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ together. Let us rejoice together. Rather than the selfish, self-centered, self-focused, self-absorbed attitude that only focuses on me. Paul said a grace-impacted spirit rejoices in the good work of fellow saints. Now, this one right here is one that hits close to home. A grace-impacted spirit uses one's authority judiciously and knows when an appeal is preferred over an order. You know, this is one of the greatest struggles of Christians in this world. People that are in positions of authority. Notice what Paul has to say here, beginning at verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee. So, I can either enjoin thee as an apostle or I can beseech thee as an apostle. Are you seeing the emphasis here? I could order you to give Onesimus his freedom permanently. I could order you, I'm not sending him back, I'm keeping him with me. I'm an apostle. I've been given authority by God. He said, I could do that, but I'm not. I'm going to beseech you in love. There's an important emphasis here that we need to see. Let's continue on. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is my own inner workings, my own inner being, my own bowels. What is he saying here? He's pleading with Philemon. He's not exercising his authority to just get what he wants for Onesimus. Follow me along here. It's very easy to slip in the mode of expecting certain things because I have power. We've seen this in how people are mistreated in the restaurant industry, when, do you know who I am? That happened this week. Sandra Lee, the former wife of Governor Cuomo, was in a restaurant, and they didn't know who she was. And she pulled off her sunglasses and said, "Do you know who I am? I'm the former wife of the governor of New York." And the poor person was right there and said, "I'm sorry, we don't have room. I can't make a place where we don't have a place." What was she doing? She was using her notoriety, which obviously this person didn't know about, to get something she wanted, and she wasn't getting it. Therefore, she had to bounce it around a little bit, pop the whip. We've all known people like that. They have this air of selfishness and self-superiority. And by the way, this has nothing to do with grace. Grace isn't like that. A grace-impacted spirit thinks differently. And Paul says, "I could have done this." But you know what Paul has learned? He's learned there's a lot of things out of my control. Did he want to be in prison? Did he want to have charges trumped up against him of sedition and to get thrown into prison? No, he didn't want that, but he's learned some things. I see this in his writings. You see this picture. Corinthians is early on. Notice the verses up there from 2 Corinthians. He says to them, "Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use," say that word please, "sharpness," in the Greek language is apotomos, to cut off, severity, abruptness, "according to the power," exousia, "authority, power, which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction." There was a positive power that he as an apostle had, and the sharpness would have been needed at this moment. But he said, "You know what I chose to do? I wrote a letter instead. And I'm hoping and praying that whenever I come to you, I don't have to go down this road." For some people, that's the first place they go. Are you listening? It's the first place we go. Anger! Bitterness! Blah, blah, blah. That's the first place we go. Why? Why is that the first place? "I'm an authority! You dared to not give me my hamburger within a minute after I ordered it." I've seen this displayed in restaurants. It's just, I'm sure Bill could give story after story of people like that, and people that have, they don't have a sense, an understanding of how things should be done. They don't know how to go to the city, to use language from Ecclesiastes. They don't know how to go to town. They just don't get it. Now, here's the thing. The world does not revolve around you. What? What? This is news to me. When I snap my fingers, it better happen. Now, wait a minute. Paul could have snapped his fingers and kept Onesimus. As an apostle, he could have kept him. But he said, "You know what? I wanted to know your mind first. I wanted you to see a saved Onesimus who was unprofitable but now is," say it, "profitable." What changed? Christ had changed him. This is a great lesson for us all. The tendency within all of our lives is to demand what we want and step on people to get it. Sometimes we don't have the authority to do that. Sometimes we do. Just because you can does not mean you should. Let me say that again. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. What regulates that? Wisdom. Wisdom regulates that. A grace-impacted spirit uses one's authority judiciously. What does that mean? Judiciously. Not with a heavy hand. All right? A judge is given parameters. And a judge can choose to say, "You know what? I'm going to give them the minimum sentence. I haven't seen, in this case, any kind of heart of trying to hurt or whatever. It was more of an accidental time. And they have judicious abilities to be able to tamper and say, wait a minute, we're not going to go that far. And then some people just go too far. It has to go to an appeals court and they get slapped down because they went too far. A grace-impacted spirit knows when you have to act strongly and when you have to act graciously. It doesn't mean that you never act strongly. Please don't swing the pendulum, you know, and say, oh, we never do that. No, you have to from time to time. You have to. You think about the things that have happened this past year, where our president's going to take the oath of office tomorrow, 2 assassination attempts. You don't play around with those situations. We've seen where they've acted graciously with criminals and they've gone out and killed and maimed and done all these things. Why? Because they say, well, we don't want to be too strong on that. Oh, you have to be strong. You have to deal with it. You have to put in the right kind of actions that will prevent something from happening in the future. But at the same time, when you're dealing with another brother in Christ, and here's a runaway slave in this situation, Onesimus, who comes to faith in Jesus Christ, and Paul sends him back because you need to make things right, Onesimus. Is that a good thing? I've read some commentators, I've read a few of them that said, Paul shouldn't have sent him back. Onesimus was so far past this, Paul shouldn't have sent him back. Well, that's wrong, I think. I think it's wrong for this reason. What has the Lord told us if we have aught against our brother? We're to go to them. Okay, Matthew 18, we were talking about that this week, Pastor Watt. We're to go to them and we're to hash it out. Yeah, that's what adults do. Follow me now. That's what adults do. Children don't do that. You don't see children on the playground saying, wait a minute, stop. Okay? All right, now, Luther, you've been fighting with Bubba. And Bubba's way bigger than you are. Let's all get together and have a group hug. How often does that happen on a playground? No. It's teacher that goes over and breaks Bubba and Luther apart, and the teacher has to get involved and solve the problem. Adults should be able to go to another adult and work things out. And so a grace-impacted spirit may have the authority to do certain things, but they use that authority judiciously so as not to hurt the person they're trying to help. Do I hear an amen? I'm not trying to hurt. We want to make this situation work. Does that mean that we handle every situation exactly the same? No, it doesn't. The situation determines the action. But in this situation, Paul says, I could have, but I'm not. I could have kept him. I could have ordered you to do this, but I don't. Don't do that. I'm going to beseech you that you'll do that. I'm belaboring this, folks, because this is a lesson that we all need. As a father in a home, as a mother in a home, as a business person, director, a boss, a leader, whatever the case might be, we need to act wisely with a grace-impacted spirit and say, all right, what does this situation call for? I have a saying that I've used with my kids, you don't shoot a rat with a howitzer. Everybody follow the train? I've got a rat in my shed, so I'm going to go get a howitzer and I'm going to kill it. But what have I else done? I've just blown my shed all to pieces. I can use something else to take care of the rat. Aunt Carolyn used to say, skin your own skunks. It was her way of doing it. You can skin your own skunk. And we can do it, if we're brothers and believers in Christ, we can do it in a way that's not so impactful that you have collateral damage to the point where you can't fix a situation. If how I act ungraciously makes the problem worse, have I done anything? Have I helped anyone? No, I haven't. So what do? I step back and I allow God to work. You know, there are some things we just have to turn over to God. Boy, I've learned that lesson over the years. There are just some things I can't fix, and I just have to turn it over to the Lord. Some people think they can fix everything, but usually what happens is they mess up something else. They mess up something else and make it worse. Oh, how we witnessed that through the years. The people that thought they were helping but were only making things worse. So a grace-impacted spirit here uses their authority judiciously and knows when an appeal is preferred over an order. An appeal over an order. Let's go on to the next one. The grace-impacted spirit connects to aid a new believer who needs help. Did Onesimus need help? Runaway slave. Unconverted. Didn't want to be in Colossae. He wanted to be out living the life. God directs him to Paul. They run into each other in Rome. Paul works with him, deals with him, and leads him to Christ. What a beautiful evangelistic story. Amen? It's beautiful. Okay, all done here. Finished. Thumbs up. No, that's not the case. Onesimus, you ran away from Philemon. You need to go make that right. We need to know his mind in all of this. I know he's going to do the right thing, but you got to do it. Is that fun to do? Oh yeah, I want to travel all the way back to Colossae. And I want to face the man that I ran away from. That's required. That's needful. That's called maturing. Not running away from the problem that I created, but rather going back. The Bible mentions this. Christ mentioned this to his disciples about if you have a situation where you owe somebody something, get up off of your knees from prayer and go take care of that problem. Isn't that interesting? Don't sit here praying about it. Get up and go fix it and then come back. There are situations that need to be repaired, relationships that need to be fixed, things you've stolen that need to be returned. It's like the fellow that was cheating the IRS and got saved in a revival meeting, and he went to the pastor and said, I've got some bad news. He said, I'm in deep trouble with the IRS. What should I do now that I'm a Christian? And he said, pay your taxes. That's what Jesus did. Pay your taxes. You figure it out. Not using deception. Go to them. I was wrong. What do I owe? How can I fix that? That's what honorable people do. In this situation here, Paul wanted to reconnect Onesimus with Philemon so they could get their relationship fixed. Was it broken? Yes, it was. Let's get this fixed first. It may be that Philemon says, I want you to go back to Rome and I want you to help Paul. Maybe that was a solution. Or, I need you here, but the relationship has changed now. I'm going to take you on as a paid employee. I don't know what happened. The Bible doesn't tell us. I do know this, that Paul gave him enough information that he could make the right choice. Isn't that a blessing? He gave him all the information he needed to make the right choice. Onesimus needed help. If you count me a partner, koinonon, it's part of the koinonia. Koinonon is a derivative of that. It means held in common, fellows, fellowship. We get our word from that. Love, trust, pray for, rejoice with, sympathize with, sacrifice for, vouch for each other to benefit of others. That's what we're supposed to be here for, to help other young believers to grow in their faith. Not just sit there and criticize them, but to say, this is where you an area you need to grow, and this is how we can help. Look at Hebrews 10 very quickly. I want you to see this. We're almost done. Look at Hebrews 10. I want you to notice verses 24 through 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day? What day? Day of the Lord? Day of Christ? That day's approaching. How are we to live here? We're to encourage each other. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That mutual fellowship that we enjoy together is part of our growing and maturing in Christ. And if you ignore that, you're ignoring an element of God's Holy Spirit work in the body of Christ. You by yourself are not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is made up of all believers. Amen? All believers. And He's called us to fellowship with each other here and now in a local church. What a blessing. We need to grow in our understanding. Well, let's finish up here. A grace-impacted spirit desires others to be greatly impacted in their spirit. And that's the final thought. You know what my desire should be? Not only for me to be impacted by the grace of God, but desire others. And that takes us to the last verse. The last verse of this passage of Scripture. It is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we desire to impact the spirit of others. Impact the spirit. Pneumatos. There are three parts to the human being. Body, soul, and, say it, spirit. Pneumatos. The spirit. That part of us which can communicate with God. Think about that. The Holy Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It doesn't say He communicates with our body. He communicates with our soul. He said He communicates with our spirit. Pneumatos. Our spirit needs to be impacted. What is impacted? It needs to come face to face. When a hammer impacts a nail, it's with force because you want to drive the nail in. An impact involves force in this way. Grace needs to impact you in such a way that you're changed afterwards. Amen? That's the whole point. Is a nail changed when it's laying on a board as opposed to driven in a board? Yes. Now, the nail itself, but its location has changed. How it's being used has changed. And that's the point. Paul desired for Philemon and for Onesimus and all the names that are mentioned there at the end of the letter there. He wanted them all to be impacted by grace in a way that changed them. Remember our definition of grace? Was not only the unmerited favor of God toward us, but also His work of changing us and making us like Himself. That transformative action of grace where it's constantly changing us. Changing us. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Is that saying we have a change there? Oh yeah. Huge change. A grace-impacted spirit. In this new year, Christian, we have an opportunity to let God's Word work its work in our hearts and lives. Philemon, way back in the first century, had a slave that ran away. Someone that he may have considered at that time unprofitable. Something happened in his heart. He was transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so the letter goes with him back to Philemon. This is a changed man. If you're my partner, I want you to receive him as myself. Verse 17. That implies a change. That implies a spirit that's been impacted by something, and we know what that is. That is the grace of God. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you might work through this study that we have done in the book of Philemon. Lord, it shows us that we in this new year need to be more impacted by the grace of God, not less impacted. And secondly, we have to put aside our own definition of grace and allow the word as it's defined by you to take heart and to take root. That not only is God favoring us, but God is changing us. He's making us different than what we were. And that means changed attitudes. Philemon would have to change his attitude toward Onesimus. Onesimus would have to change his attitude toward Philemon. It worked both ways. And Father, I believe that when we get to heaven, we'll get to see them both. And they'll be able to share the rest of the story. We'll get to know what happened after that. I believe it was possibly a great reunion once he read the letter and understood what had happened in Onesimus' life. There were changes that were made as a result. Now, Father, I pray that you'd make changes in our hearts. We desperately need them. It's easy to hold on to bitterness toward others. It's easy to remember things about certain people, what they said, what they did. And that permeates our thinking, and we cannot act graciously toward them because we don't allow ourselves to. Father, I pray that you would awaken us to the testimony of your word, and that you would draw us unto yourself in the process to your wonderful grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.